This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may dwell, as well as all people on this planet who believe in freedom and who oppose the crushing weight of globalism and the lack of individual freedom and the lack of individual cultural preservation that this globalism would cause on this planet. First off, I want to tell people that I really have gotten some great emails of people volunteering some help, and I want to share this with you, and then I'm going to tell you my response to this email. By the way, we will be working this weekend, and primarily in Covington, Louisiana. We also have a big hole in my roof in here in Mandeville, right in my living room. I can see daylight from where I'm sitting doing this broadcast. We could use a little help. We're going to do some work, some hard work. We're going to have some great comradeship and brotherhood, and perhaps even some sisterhood there if some ladies come to help as well. And we don't know yet what the makeup will be of the crew that we have coming. But we appreciate anybody who has volunteered, and we don't have many. The problem is that so many people in this local area, almost everyone, has some sort of damage to their own property or a close friend's property or a relative's property, and I cannot ask them to leave their own homes and come to help the movement where our leadership facilities are. I just can't do that, and I'm not going to do that. So I'm just asking people who can help, if they are local and they have gotten their work done and they are free, able to, that's fine. But very few are locally. And other people, of course, have to come in a long ways. We have a very generous gentleman coming in from Texas, another one coming in from Eunice, Louisiana, and we expect to have a good little crew. I don't think we'll have many. We didn't have more than three or four in the last weekend, and you know that would be a big help, whatever we get. We've already repaired most of the roof. Of course, the trees have been off for a while due to the good work of James and his recruiting volunteers to do that, and we've been repairing the roof. We've been preparing the inside. James has been spackling the inside to prepare the drywall, and we hope to get this facility back into good shape in a couple days. I'm racing against time because I've got to get back on the road to my speaking engagements and other important affairs to advance the movement. And the longer I stay here working on this material, the less I'm doing in terms of writing and getting out the material that we need to get out for this cause. If you notice that when I'm back home here, my writing on the internet is far lower because I just am so busy doing all the catch-up work from the office and the other aspect and the hurricane disaster work here, and it's just very, very difficult to be able to do that. When I'm in Eastern Europe primarily and teaching in that environment, I find it much easier to spend more time in front of the computer screen and write more articles, do more research. And I know that you've seen my website, davidduke.com. You wouldn't be on the internet right now if you haven't. You know, you'll notice a tremendous number of articles, researched articles, ideas, presentations, and audio presentations that I've made over the last few weeks and months. I think that my output has really been great. But it's a little bit slow now because we're trying to get these facilities repaired and up to speed. Let me read this letter. This is from a gentleman named Trevor, and he's a long way away from here, but I want to share with you this letter, and it kind of shows the dedication that there is in this cause. He says, "Dear Dr. Duke, firstly, I wish to congratulate you for your well-earned doctorate degree. It must be a very satisfying accomplishment for you, with the added bonus that it's causing our traditional enemies to whip themselves into a hand-wringing frenzy. When my family learned Hurricane Katrina was headed for New Orleans, our first thoughts were of concern for you and your property. We followed your website closely in the aftermath and were relieved to learn that you and your supporters survived unharmed, but were saddened to see the destruction to your home and office. I want to help you if I can. I'm a carpenter operating in my own company in a small town about 50 miles northwest of Toronto, Canada. I see you need volunteers this weekend, which is a short notice for me. Are you planning more such weekends? If so, when? I'm thinking of two methods. Firstly, I could try to drive my van with all my tools to your home, but I'm very concerned for the security of my van and tools there and back, about a two-day trip one way. And while you're home, out of the country plates, etc., who knows what the authorities will do. From most reports, New Orleans appears to be more dangerous and lawless than usual. Alternately, I could fly to New Orleans bringing only my hand tools and a hand belt. Possibly I could bring my teenage son to help, too. He and I had the pleasure of attending your 2004 New Orleans conference. Also, I've been good friends with Paul Fromm since about 1980. Our family struggles financially each month, but I'm willing to invest several days away from my work here and spend several hundred dollars to travel to New Orleans and volunteer my skills. My son told me he'd be proud to look back in years to come and know that we helped Dr. Duke when he needed help most. Please advise. I hope we can make it possible. All the best wishes to you and your loved ones. Sincerely, Trevor, with his phone number. Ladies and gentlemen, that's overwhelming to me. And Trevor, I hope that you're listening to this broadcast or you hear this in archive version. Thank you so much for your offer. But Trevor, please stay home. You know, take care of your family. I know how it is to struggle these days, especially for anybody in the construction trade these days with the massive numbers of immigrants coming in, and where you have 9 or 10 immigrants living in one house and they're able to undercut all the people who do carpentry or other kinds of skills. I know it's hard enough for you, and I wouldn't in any way ask you to come. In fact, I will not permit you to come to New Orleans. I don't want your help here. I want you to stay home and take care of your family and do well. I hope you're very successful in your business, and it's obvious that you're a man of talent and devotion and dedication, and I'm very, very thankful there are people like you out there. I would, however, make a request that those that are listening to this message and anywhere in Louisiana and Mississippi, Alabama, maybe some parts of eastern Texas, maybe some parts of Tennessee, maybe some parts of western Florida, Alabama, or even western Georgia, if you can make a trip in, if you can leave tomorrow after work or something and drive in, you know, it would be a big help. We have a place available in our Covington availability, our Covington facility, and it's not that comfortable. It's not that bad. If you have a sleeping bag or something to lay on, or perhaps an air mattress to put down to make it a little softer, it's more comfortable, but it's not a house that's going to be cold. There's no bugs. There's no cockroaches. We have a good, decent kitchen, and we have a decent, nice, hot shower and bathroom facilities that are spotlessly clean. So if you'd like to come in, spend the night, both Friday and Saturday night, or part of that time, you're welcome to. If you want to get in Saturday morning, we could use your help. This weekend is going to be very, very busy for us. And the more people we have working in this property, the better. We've got to do pressure washing on the outside. We're going to do some spray painting of the property. We've got some drywall work to finish up. We've got some roofing to finish up, some fascia to finish up in the roof. We've got some excellent carpenters coming in. We definitely need a few more people, skilled or unskilled. If you have a train saw, we still have some huge logs to move out of the backyard. But we certainly appreciate your presence, and you can call our office in Mandeville, 809-0424, and you can talk to James, and he can give you some details. And come on in. We could definitely use your help. But thank you, Trevor. It's much appreciated, but I really sincerely desire you to stay home with your family. Make some money back home. You want to send a contribution sometime, that's fine. That's good. We certainly need that to do the work that we do. And that would be a great help for us, because we have to hire some, you know, very skilled labor for some of these particular jobs. So a little cash or a contribution would be great. By the way, for those of you out there who would like to make a little cash contribution or credit card contribution to the cause, you can go right to my website, www.davidduke.com. Just click on to donate, that button, and you can go in and give a credit card donation. We would love to get a $1,000 donation from you. Aha. Now, I'm not talking about Trevor now. I know his family's struggling. But for those of you who could help, we would appreciate it. Anything that you could do. We'd appreciate $5 for that matter. but we certainly are thankful for the people out there that support our cause. Probably the wrecking of the house has not been the worst aspect of this. It has been a lot of work, but it's also been the lack of mail service for over a month. Now it's back in completely, so you can send us those letters and send us those cards. And the mail service is back in. That loss of phone, internet had some problems a few days, and that has really lowered our revenue. And of course, we've got, like anybody else, we have mortgages to pay. And we have always believed in going out and doing the most we can. We're in a race against time, so we're not going to be like the Amish people or some of the Quakers. We're not going to say that we've got to get the money for the house totally paid off before we have a mortgage. Sometimes we have to mortgage things to pay for advanced printings, for instance, of My Awakening or Jewish Supremacism and other materials. Sometimes we have to do that for equipment, and we have some sizable mortgages that we've got to pay, and just for the general expenses. Let me tell you something. I would love to be in a situation, and I really believe in this cause. I've written two books that are truly bestsellers around the world. Now, in some places in the world, like in Russia, I don't get any money from those books anymore. There's a lot of corruption going on in those industries and some of those nations. And Russia, in some ways, is like a third world country in that level, unfortunately. But if though I just had my book, the money that I make on the book, in terms of the sale price of the book or the wholesale price of the book, and I can just simply send out books and fill wholesale orders, if I just took that money for myself, that profit after the cost of printing, you know, I would have a much easier, more comfortable life. I mean, I wouldn't have these pressures. Nobody could possibly make any financial charges or whatever against me, like those idiots that go around sometime. And I'd be very well, and nobody could give me trouble. Well, he makes some money from some of his books. Great. You know, I could even probably contribute to some of these other organizations. But I'm interested in doing more than simply making a living. I could, from my books, I could have enough money that I could live on the side of a mountain somewhere modestly. I've always lived modestly. Drive a used car. Never bought a new car in my life. But I could live on the side of a mountain somewhere. I could hike once in a while in the summertime and climb the peaks, you know, once every week or two. I love to go out there and do that for the afternoon. I could even play a game of golf. Man, I played one game of golf in 4 years. It's a great sport. You just can't afford the time for that game. In the wintertime, I could even ski. I could live someplace like that in Colorado or Washington State. It's always been my dream, you know, spend one season up there where you can do your work on your computer, and then you can go out and ski for an hour or two, you know, and then you come back and you work and you're writing and on your correspondence and your internet and things like that. Boy, that is not like a dream for me. No, but instead of that, I have an incredibly difficult schedule. I travel. Sometimes it's so hard. In fact, traveling back and forth between Eastern Europe is an incredibly difficult thing. The flight itself, the last flight I took was an 11-hour flight. And because it's 9 hours ahead in terms of time, and of course 12 hours would be halfway around the world, so it basically turns your day upside down. At the time you'd be getting up, going to bed in the United States, you'd be getting up, you see, in Russia or Ukraine. So the jet lag is hard. Maybe when I was a young man, you could stay up all night for a few days, you had no trouble. But nowadays it's tough. So I go out there, I get on the road, you know, and I meet with many different leaders. I give them the advice that I can give them. I continue to educate people. I do interviews both for local white nationalist organizations and anti-Zionist organizations and publications around the world. I try to keep them kind of straight in terms of ideology, because there is always a tendency for some of us to kind of veer off into the crank mentality about some of these things. And I try to keep it on a very even keel. You know the quality of the stuff that I do. I address gatherings such as what we had in Sweden, what we had in Spain. I go to some of the politicians in Eastern Europe who've been elected, and I've helped get them elected. I know a bit about campaigning, obviously, with my successful vote getting in Louisiana. I've been elected twice to public office in different races at different times in different localities, in fact. And I've received tremendous votes in Louisiana. I know how to help a campaign, and the people in Eastern Europe are a little bit, they just haven't had the democratic or the political experience we had in America. So I share that experience. I have a real sense, I think, about what appeals to voters and how to frame their ideological point of view in a way to appeal to voters and translate their opinions about Zionism and other issues into concrete votes and political power. And I'm glad to say that a number of people I know are, in fact, elected to the national parliaments in some Eastern European countries. I've conferred with people, as you know, like Jean-Marie Le Pen. I've conferred with people like Robert Faurisson. You know, I've conferred with people, you know, all over Europe. Nick Griffin, as you all know. The leaders in Sweden, the leaders in Denmark, the leaders in Poland, the leaders, you know, I just met with one of the Austrian youth leaders of one of the groups. And I tell you, it's great to be able to try to inspire them and push them forward, and that's exactly what I do. And by being a leader and by being actually head of an organization, Euro, and doing what I do in terms of, you know, the things that we need for that, the publications, the web, all the stuff that goes along with that, that opens you up to the attacks, because then that's where the jealousy comes in, and that's where the resentment comes in, and of course the Mossad comes in to try to attack you. So you got to deal with that, because when you have to collect money for dues, or you have to run like an organization or an attempt to get this material out, even if it's a question of just putting out leaflets and a magazine and a newspaper and all the rest of it, your life suddenly becomes much more complicated. And I have to spend hours and hours and hours on the day-to-day business aspects of the organization, because basically I've learned over the years how to get the jobs and the services done at the lowest possible price. I've learned in some ways to be that proverbial archetypical Jew. I hate to say that in some ways, but I've learned to save money in that respect. I'll just call it Scottish, and I've got a lot of Scottish blood, and Scottish people are pretty thrifty. And there's a difference to being thrifty and being deceitful or underhanded and usurious or whatever. But I am thrifty, and I tell you, you'd be amazed how much I have to negotiate and search around for the right printing prices, and it's just amazing, you know, the things that we do so we can survive. And I had to buy carpet for this place. I'll tell you a little story, might be interesting to you. And we had to go to a couple of localities, some of these national chains. I mean, there's just, you know, nobody had the local carpet and could do it in the time that I needed. I like to use local companies when I can. We did that for a lot of our lumber needs and our other needs in this fix-up that we've done. And I got a carpet price on one place, and then I went to the competitor, and they have a 10% under, and they gave me a price, and then I went back to the original. I ended up getting 20% off the carpet, and so it's pretty amazing. I got some Berber carpet, you know, for three rooms, and you know, with pad installed for about $1,200. I mean, actually four rooms, 122 square yards. That's pretty cheap by any standards. It could have easily cost $1,800, $2,000, $2,500, $3,000. And in many localities, that's what they'd have paid for. But that's kind of what I have to do in everything. I shop around for the paper I buy. I shop around for every aspect of what I do. I print a lot of my material on my laser printer. I have an 8100. And the laser printer takes cartridges that print 20,000 copies. And you can buy them refurbished, you know, refilled copies, such laser cartridges, for $45 a cartridge. Isn't that amazing? That's what I do. But of course, it takes a lot of time to watch that printer and to wait while those papers come streaming out and getting prepared for our mailing. So I've always done that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we do need your help this weekend, and I appreciate if those of you listening will give us a hand, because I think it's an important thing, and it's worthy of your support. And if you can't give us a hand, maybe you can send us a contribution, because you can imagine the expenses and materials and all the things that we have to do to get the place in shape. And anything you can do to help us in terms of getting these facilities in shape obviously gives us more funds and more ability and more time to spend toward advancing our movement and bringing our movement to the presence and the consciousness of more of our people. And ladies and gentlemen, we're doing that. I can tell you, I get so many emails from people around the world. It's just incredible of the people that we are awakening. I've been awakened by my books, awakened by these broadcasts, awakened by what they read on my internet site. It's really a wonderful thing, and I'm so proud of that. By the way, I want to share with you a letter I received from Dr. Thawali from the program, and let me share that with you right now. It's also posted on stormfront.org, the town hall section. And again, if you want to make a comment right now for the last few minutes of the show, or you want to send me an email directly, just info44@davidduke.com. If you can help this weekend, or think you might be able to come in and help, we can give you directions. Just mail me directly, info44@davidduke.com, or you can call the Covington House, talk to James himself, 809-0424, 809-0424, area code 985, 985-809-0424, and make arrangements, and if you can come in and help, that's great. A lot of people had a lot of criticism to say of Hesham Thawali, and I just wanted to share with you a letter from him. He said I could share it with you, and I think it's a good letter, and to let you know that we have a friend. Now here it is. I'll let the letter explain itself. It says to Dr. David Duke. David, thank you for your comments about me and your radio program on the 12th. I am honored to be a friend of yours, and I do consider you a good friend, and I am a supporter of your cause. I would rather live in a white America than a Zionist America. Please tell your listeners to rest assured that Hesham Thawali is a friend of the white movement. My show is to provide my guests with a platform to speak freely and to help them bring out their ideas and opinions to the public. Sometimes I resort to challenging questions to give them an opportunity to dispel some of the myth about them in the public's eyes. My comment about whites and Mexicans was to give you the opportunity to refute some of those myths out there, which you did in a brilliant way. Also, my comment about you having a hard time shaking racism off, it was meant to give you the opportunity to dispel the biggest myth about David Duke, that you are a racist. My comment was not that David Duke was a racist and having a hard time shaking it off, but that David Duke, and due to the Zionist media, is having a hard time getting away from the label that the Zionist charged him with in order to destroy him and destroy his political ambitions. I'm sorry that some of the listeners, especially those on Stormfront, did not see it that way. Anyway, I'm glad you came on the show, and please come back. Your friend, Hesham Thawali, Ph.D. And I wrote him back, and I said, Dear Hesham, thank you, my friend. Of course, I understood exactly what you were doing, but it's good you point out your methods for my friends who visit davidduke.com, the many thousands of Stormfront members and visitors. I will post this right away. Thanks again. And I do thank him, and he gave me a nice opportunity, and he did offer challenging things. The old word is, you know, he kind of play the devil's advocate, and that's okay. You know, and sometimes that makes for good radio and good media, and it just gets everything a little more, makes everything a little more exciting. I got a number of emails about the program today, and let me go to a couple of them. By the way, I can see James Kelso is really working hard trying to post about the broadcast. My friend James M. writes in. He said, David, this is a very interesting broadcast. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it, James. You're an interesting guy. James is one of these people that he watches the news and also Google News Alerts and the rest of it. He gets the names of leaders around the world who are doing things that are important for our cause, such as Galloway in Great Britain, who has worked so hard to expose Zionism. And I can name many other people. And he finds a way. He does a little research. He's learned this tactic very, very well. He finds a way to contact these people directly and personally. And he writes them letters. He takes the time to do that. And he develops a relationship with them. And then he helps them on to understand the full question, the way that he and I understand that question. And it's really a marvelous thing. And he always writes me, I don't know if we agree with 100% on all things, because I don't know any two people that agree with 100% on every issue. But James M. and I agree on the most critical issues facing, I think, mankind. And probably 90%, of 95% perhaps, of all issues we agree on. And he really gets out there and does it, and he brings people along. And you can do the same thing. Many of those listening can do the same thing to bring more and more people to the truth, the truth that's so vital to our presentation. Oh, I've got a couple other pieces of information for you. A few months ago, a documentary crew came and filmed me and interviewed me for a special they're doing this Friday on American Movie Channel, AMC. And this episode is called Birth of a Nation. And this is this Birth of a Nation is about the movie that was made in the early part of the 20th century by D.W. Griffith. And this movie has probably been the best-selling movie of all time. It is a movie they still study in art school and film school. And it was a very pro European-American movie, a very pro-Southern movie, even actually a very pro-Klan movie, believe it or not. And this is the Klan of the Reconstruction period. This is the Klan that I admired as a young man, and this is an amazing film. Now, you don't get this point of view anymore in the national media. Imagine this was made and watched all over the United States of America. Interestingly enough, Birth of a Nation, the Jewish supremacists tried to suppress this film. They tried to ban it. They tried to outlaw it. And it was pretty amazing process. And the other Jewish supremacists in the NAACP worked very hard and had big demonstrations against this film. In fact, this film was banned in a few places in America. And they came down to Louisiana and they interviewed me on this film. I don't know what the film looks like. I don't know. They can really quote you out of context, but it's going to be interesting to see what they did. I can't recommend it to you as a great film. They may slander my character terribly in the film. I don't know what they're going to do. But it's certainly interesting to think. And, of course, they're going to interview probably mostly. They'll be interviewing liberals who want to condemn the film. But they do have my take on the film. I've written a lot about it over the years. I know a great deal about the making of Birth of a Nation, the process it went through, it's just an amazing story all the way through. And I think, from what they told me, they were going to quote me quite extensively in the broadcast. So that's going to be on the American Movie Channel. That's this Friday night. That's tomorrow night. 10/14/2005. And what I'll try to do is I'll try to get my material together, and tomorrow I'll do a special show, and we're going to talk a lot about Birth of a Nation. So you might get your questions together and your comments about that famous film. By the way, if you want to get a copy of that film on VHS, you can get that from us, right here at our office, and go to the internet and you can order that film on VHS. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm interested in watching this documentary. I can't tell you it's going to be a good documentary, but I think it may be very interesting to you, and you may be able to get some tidbits in addition to all the, I can imagine, the attacks that's going to go on in the film. I also got another email from a friend of mine in Eastern Europe, a journalist actually, and his name is Justin. I won't give you his last name at this point. He does a lot of mainstream journalism as well as writing a lot of good articles for our people. And he says, I noticed, let's see, let me get his original email. He said, I listened to your latest show and heard your comments regarding the Liberty attack. I thought you might find an interview I did with one of the crew members to be of interest. There was a Soviet sub watching the attack and offered the crew members help, which is something most people aren't familiar with. Interesting. Another interesting tidbit is that a Soviet sub had orders to hit Israel with nuclear weapons if the United States attacked Europe. There was a book in Russian about it called something like The Man Who Was to Destroy Israel. Anyway, if you have time, you might like to read the interview. And Justin, I tell you what, I will read it as soon as I can. I'll definitely want to read that. Here's another nice little email. This is from Irene. She says, Dr. Duke, I just now pursued your site, and I'm glad I found it. It was rather like coming home after an extensive travel into the muck of the world. So that's interesting. Actually, it's not from Irene. That's the email address. It's from Barry. The email address probably is wife, girlfriend, who knows. But anyway, he goes on with some complimentary things about the site, and thank you so much. This is from Scott, and he writes, Dear Dr. Duke, I would first I'd like to congratulate you on your performance with the Current Issues program. I managed to catch most of this show live on your website and was thoroughly impressed with your informative and powerful response to every question raised. I was left with an awesome sense of pride that we have such heroes as yourself fighting for our heritage and freedom. I believe my question to be, I believe my question would be inappropriate for your show and be grateful if you'd please respond by email. Well, I don't mind about inappropriate questions for the show. He says that the one single part of your talk on current issues where you hesitated slightly with the questions were raised, but George Bush is not Jewish, etc. It has long been my view, like yourself, that these traitors to our nations are controlled by money in the media, the threat of media-style crucifixion, and hence economic blackmail. However, personal research has led me to something even more conclusive and undeniably deniable. And he goes on to talk about Freemasonry. I've talked about some of that on my show. I do believe there was a very strong link with this in terms of Freemasonry years ago. I think it's a very waning influence. I think most Freemasons in the United States are just normal people, carpenters, plumbers. You know, very few higher-up Jews involved in Freemasonry anyway in the United States anymore. And that's not true necessarily everywhere in the world, but different. Freemasonry was one of their tactics to have power. And I think many people were involved. Typical good white Americans were involved in them over the years who were not part of any conspiracy. I don't think George Washington was part of any conspiracy. Thank God for George Washington or Thomas Jefferson. You know, I love the works and writings of Thomas Jefferson. At one time, Masonry was in some ways a response to fight against the aristocrats. They found that this was a whole new mercantile class rising up out of the common men. They worked hard, created businesses, but they found all the courts laden with the aristocrats. They found the government laden with aristocrats. They felt they had no power. So one way they responded to that power was by the creation of a secret society like the Masons, where they would help one another the same way the aristocrats did. If you went to a court and there were aristocrat judges, and the aristocrat was either the defense or the plaintiff or the defendant, and you're on the other side of the case, good luck to you. And this was a means that they had. So many people were attracted to it, also by, you know, the hocus pocus and the rest of it. But many people were attracted to it by these aspects. Now, again, I'm not in any way defending Freemasonry, but I'm just saying that I think that it was a big factor in the French Revolution. I think the Jewish role in that revolution was incredibly powerful. But I don't think it's had the ultimate power, and I think that in some ways discussing the Bilderbergers or the Freemasons and the rest of it kind of just detracts from the basic issue we have. And the basic issue we have is that Jewish supremacism, you know, is about a racial, tribal approach to the world, a racially supremacist approach to the world and to power. And that's it in an elemental sense. Any other kinds of organizations or societies or whatever are simply tools they use from time to time, and they'll embrace or they'll discard those tools as it suits them. I got a few more things. We're about out of time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to cut the show a little shorter because. Because, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people just can't afford to spend an hour a day listening. And so instead, if they feel like they can't listen to the whole show, they might just stop listening. I'm trying to limit the program. I think it's better, crisper, if I do that. I will go to Stormfront and see if there's any other posts. I don't think that there are at this particular moment. And that's it. I'm gonna go ahead and I've got to go back to work. We do need your support this weekend. If you live in the New Orleans area, the North Shore, Southern Mississippi, or anywhere in Mississippi, Alabama, Western Florida, Western Georgia, Eastern Texas, and you'd like to come over and to help this weekend, I'm going to be working out there. James Kelso will be. Robert Moore, who's doing some good jobs. And by the way, if you're interested in doing contracting or doing labor with a real good man who's really supportive of our cause and has offered a tremendous amount of help in this particular thing, he's looking for employees to do labor. So if you're willing to put in a hard day's work and you want to work for a decent guy, he can pay you in cash, by the way, and you want to do some work for a few weeks or a few months or whatever, and you're willing to look for the work and to learn, you can contact Robert Moore. Just send me an email. I'll make sure that he gets it forwarded to him. We will get started. We'll be working tomorrow, by the way, all day. We'll be working up till tomorrow evening. Then it's Saturday, starting early, if you can come in on Saturday. And I'll be working on Sunday. Anybody that can come in, please email me at info44@davidduke.com. And also call James Kelso at area code 985-809-0424. We appreciate your support. If you can't come in, maybe you can send a contribution so we could buy some of these materials, because we've We're spending thousands of dollars in the materials that we need. We've almost reconstructed half of a roof, I think, in Covington. We had three huge trees fall on our property. Well, look forward to seeing you soon and talking to you again. I will definitely be with you tomorrow, give you an update on what's going on there on the Katrina disaster remedial effort we're making. And I thank you so much for your listenership and for your support of this cause. And it's not just support for myself I'm asking for. I'm asking for you to get active in whatever organization you're active in. If you're a member of National Vanguard or National Alliance or just Stormfront or any other group out there, American Renaissance, I urge you to spend more of your life, more of your time, more dedication, more of your money to support this cause. And if you're one of these naysayers who wants to criticize leaders, forget about criticizing. If you don't particularly like one leader, go off and support another leader. But don't get in the name blame. Don't circulate nasty Jewish-style character assassination attacks all over the Internet. We should have an idea, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody that distributes this garbage around about other leaders who are obviously out there working hard on these questions, who are speaking out and putting their lives on the line and their time on the line. And by the way, nobody gets rich doing this cause. I guarantee you, I haven't. And nobody gets rich by being a leader in this cause. It'd be nice if people could earn a little bit better living so they can have a decent living for their family. And still do the cause. Doesn't seem to be possible yet. But ladies and gentlemen, we have got to get this cause off the ground. And the way you do that is by supporting people you do like. And if you don't like me, fine. Don't give me a penny. Don't support me. But go out there and do something for somebody else. And let's stop the belly aching and the dissension. And I'm going to do everything I can to bring any warring groups together, at least in dialogue and friendship. We have a common foe. As you know, I never write things attacking people. I've defended myself a few times from outlandish attacks, but I've never spent, I haven't spent 1/10 or 1/100th of 1% of my time talking about people, even about people who are talking bad about me. I go out there and you look at my website, I go out there and reach the public, reach new people, and hopefully motivate and inspire our own ranks to greater achievement in our cause. Thanks. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow, and I hope to see some of you in Mandeville and Covington. And we'll work together side by side, but we'll have a chance to even share a meal together and some great comradeship. Looking forward to that. Thanks. Bye-bye.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.